Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
It's not enough just to come here on Sundays and get refueled, and then by the end of it, you're like out of gas. Like I've heard so many, like, oh, I just made it here. Oh man, I am so drained spiritually. I need to get refilled. Well, I can't imagine how bad Friday and Saturday and all that is for the people around you. What a bummer. Those who need to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, what do they get? Just fumes? That stinks. They need more than that. So don't just come to church and get fueled. Every day, walk with the Lord. Every day, get up and meet with Him because He's there.
Pastor Troy says you shouldn't confuse doing great things or fame with greatness. And you shouldn't mistake being unknown for being unimportant in God's eyes. You don't have to do great things to please God. Just be like Enoch in the Bible, whose sole purpose in life was to walk with God. You need to walk with Him before you can be an effective witness. Fame, position, or head knowledge doesn't show greatness. Just because someone knows a lot doesn't mean they have a right heart. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
What do I have? What can I give to God? How do I bless Him? How do I please Him? Well, let me tell you how. Just faithfully walk with Him. That's enough. Don't you agree with that? I mean, isn't it hard enough just to get up and to tackle whatever comes that day in a way that would honor Him? That's enough. We don't need some great thing. This is what Enoch did. He walked with God every day, and He pleased Him. And guess what? When you do this, you will please God, and you will be a testimony. God will use you to do things you never imagined. I'm so amazed to see God working in some of your lives. I'm impressed almost, not with you, although it's awesome, but I'm impressed with God because it's almost like you scour and you look and you go, yeah, head taller, good one, yeah, those are the ones. But then you see the ones that keep rising up, like, no. See those guys. But then they rise up and say, all right, try something. Do the announcement, do something, you know. And you see God's with them. They're walking with God. Are they perfect? Oh, no. No. I have a lot of work to be done. So do I. But they walk with God. And it makes a difference. You'll be amazed at what God will do and how well He'll do it without you trying so hard. It was in Acts chapter 4 that the disciples, just fishermen, are standing before the Sanhedrin, a group that probably knew more of the Scripture than all Israel put together. I mean, you talk about head knowledge, it was all right there as the disciples stood before them. The disciples had nothing new to give these guys. But it says that they looked at them and they were amazed. There was a power. There was something about them. And it says this about them. They noticed that these men had been with Jesus. It made a difference in their life. Not the education, not the eloquence, not anything else. But these guys spoke as if somebody who was with God, but they were with Jesus. They never could connect those dots, or never would. The key? Having spent time with Jesus. It's what will enhance any ministry that we ever partake of. Whether you're ushering, you're cleaning toilets, straightening chairs, just out and about in the line, in the grocery line, and someone is next to you and you talk to them. worship, everything, time with Jesus makes a big difference. In fact, it's essential. Fame, position, head knowledge, you know, lots of knowledge about things. Some are so well read or so studied up on the scriptures. It all goes to the head. None of these things are a good measuring stick for greatness. Just because someone knows a lot doesn't mean they have a right heart. I have known so many who were well read. I have known so many who could take the scriptures, and it's like they've got a scriptural defense for everything, or the answer for everything. They're just full of answers. And yet you look at their life and you wonder, where's the disconnect? They know so much, but there's nothing admirable in their life or their character or their personality. Yeah, they know a lot. Yeah, their life's in order, but man, who can stand to be around them? So we need to be with Jesus. That's walking with him. It'll change our attitude toward what we do, and it'll change our attitude toward others. It'll change our attitude about what we prioritize and see as important. Fame, position, knowledge, wealth, they're a poor measuring stick for greatness, but let me tell you something about them. They will often, when we have them, mask certain issues in our heart, cover them up. They're there, but we don't see them because I'm wealthy, so I'm kind. I'm wealthy, so I'm honest. I'm wealthy, and you're always asking me for help, so I'm generous. But remove the wealth from that man and find out how that man would act on the other side with less. Would they still be just as generous or just as kind? Or would they scratch and claw because they feel comfortable with money? Or roles and positions. Some position, yeah, I'm kind. Yeah, I'm spiritual because I have a position and people come to me for counsel. And I'm glad to give my counsel. But take away any position, any importance, any significance, and find out if that person will scratch and claw and try to find significance or force themselves into a position where they feel significant again. It's been said, if you want to see how great a person really is, kick the pedestal out from underneath that person and see what's left. Enoch was just an ordinary guy who served an extraordinary God. So as we walk with God, we touch lives, we become a witness, we leave a testimony. It's important for us to understand the order of things, that we must walk with Christ before we can really be a witness for Christ effectively. We can do it. He'll bless it. I even know false teachers. Some have attended their churches and given their life to the Lord, but very quickly they grow and they say, ooh, this is not right. But God was faithful. God was still faithful. He met them because his heart is for the seeker. He says, if you seek me, you'll find me. In a mule, in a rock, but you won't stay there. You won't continue your whole Christian journey before the mule or before the rock or before the false teacher. You'll grow. What is it that generates our motion as we walk with the Lord? It's faith. Faith. Faith is not something we generate. I can't go, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the thing? Faith in that it'll happen? Faith in the fact that I was right? Or what's your faith in? Faith can only happen when God initiates. God says, do this. Okay, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to do it. It's outside of what I would have done, but I'm going to put my faith in you. Without the Lord leading and generating, your faith is in something in vain. It's putting out your own hope, your own expectation, your own will, your own plan. Everything must come from him. That's where faith is. It's in him. Our faith is only as good as the object of that faith. So we read in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So the last thing we want to find out or talk about is the fact that only faith pleases God. Not great things, not great counsel, not total devotion to picking up your Bible every single day and just saying, I want knowledge for the sake of knowledge. But faith alone. And that faith comes from hearing the Word of God, heeding the Word of God, putting your faith in the Lord. The reason only faith pleases God is because only faith keeps us in step with God. Nothing else does. I could cast my own thing out there and go, by faith I'm going to do it, and I'm going to invite Jesus to be a part of it. But that doesn't keep me in step with the Lord. In fact, it more tells the Lord to get in step with me. I'm going to do this by faith, Lord. I claim it. Now, get over here. But that's not the way the Lord works. He initiates. Wasn't it the Lord who spoke out to Abraham? Abraham. Wasn't Abraham going, you know what? I'm out of here. Worshiping all these false gods. I feel empty. I'm out of here. By faith, I'm going to find another land. It was initiated by God. Everything that you see in the scriptures that requires faith is initiated by God, not us. Without faith, it's impossible to please him because faith is actually a response to him. Where he doesn't lead, faith in him doesn't exist. Enoch must have had great faith to walk with God, though, because he walked during one of the most wicked periods of planet Earth. It was the time right before the Lord judged the entire earth with a flood. We read in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." Now that's a bad time on planet Earth. Some say today, it's hard to be a Christian today.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the Solid
Rock. It's hard to live for the Lord today. I think Enoch might laugh at us. So what? You have a church you can go to without fear of the government coming in and closing you down or killing everyone? I mean, you got multiple translations of the scriptures, God's word, which comforts your heart. It's hard to be a Christian with all that, and you've got an advantage over so many other nations and people. What was Enoch's secret? He walked with God. See, I think that's why Enoch was put in here. Because when we say it's hard to live for Christ today, then we run across Enoch, who walked with God and pleased him at a time when it was far worse than it is today. It's possible, his life says, to live a godly life in an ungodly environment. Doesn't matter where that environment is. It could be your neighborhood, the workplace, traffic, wherever it is, you're in it. And you can live godly, even though you're in it. I heard someone once say, a rose can even grow in a swamp. But the key is this, time with the Lord, spending time with him. It's not enough just to come here on Sundays and get refueled, and then by the end of it, you're like out of gas. Like I've heard so many, like, oh, I just made it here. Oh man, I am so drained spiritually. I need to get refilled. Well, I can't imagine how bad Friday and Saturday and all that is for the people around you. What a bummer. Those who need to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, what do they get? Just fumes? That stinks. They need more than that. So don't just come to church and get fueled. Every day, walk with the Lord. Every day, get up and meet with Him because He's there. It's not uncommon, in fact, for the Lord to call people to Himself from those environments and that they stay there, or calling people to Himself and bringing them in the midst of those environments where it is so dark. I know we have some that like to separate from everything, but God actually installs people in places so that their light shines. You know why? Because the light never shines more purely and bright than when it's in the midst of darkness. When we as Christians all gather together, it's just about whose light is brighter. Mine's, oh man, yours is, wow, what a bright light you are. Yeah. And yours is not so light. You're like Christmas lights. You know what? You better, everyone, you're attractive to everyone. Stop that. You need to be a beacon like this guy. Look at him, man, sunburn and everything else when you stand around this man. You need to brighten up, get that light in order. Yeah, that's when we're all together, Christians, kumbaya, hanging around each other. There's a lost world. We need to stop fighting each other, trying to make each other's light like ours. We need to remember whatever light we have works best in the darkness. And the world needs to see something different. I could take two sides on every family in here, including my own. On everyone in here. I could say, yeah, they could grow in certain areas. In fact, they could probably grow with these people. These people would be a great light for them, everyone. At the same time, I could take every member in here and say, you know what? You would minister to these people who need a light. It's true of all of our lives. We're called to be lights in the world. And we don't decide where that is, how that is, what role that is. All we're to do is to walk with God daily. That's what pleases Him. We see two foundational parts of faith that moves those who trust in God. First, we must believe that He is, it says. Must believe that He is. If you don't believe that He is, then you're not going to respond to Him. You're not going to talk to Him. You're not going to cry out to Him. So you must believe that He is. If you don't, you simply meander through life instead of walking with a purpose. But we have access to Him. We believe in Him. When you believe in Him, He invites you to walk with Him. Again, like the disciples, He didn't say, receive me. He said, follow me. So we must believe that He is, but we also must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There's reward in diligently seeking Him, but we must diligently seek Him. You know why atheists can't find God? Because they're looking for Him about the same way a thief is looking for a cop, hoping not to find Him. We can dismiss Him if we try to look not to find Him. That's kind of easy. He's invisible. But if you really want to find Him, the Scripture says you will find Him. It's a guarantee, a promise. I remember going out of the store one day. I thought I had taken the Corolla. Apparently, we had taken the van. And so I was looking for the Corolla. I was looking everywhere for the Corolla. The van was obviously before me, but I didn't see the van because I wasn't looking for the van. I was looking for the Corolla. And so my kids were like, there it is. And I'm like, it's right in front of me, right here. Why couldn't I see it? Because I was looking for something else. Now, I could have said, you're just kids. I'm too proud. I know more than you. I am not going to switch my belief. I believe I brought the Corolla. So I don't care what I see. Mom must be here. Mom must have pulled in. I will find some excuse. But I know the Corolla's around here because you are not the one who tells me what's right and wrong. I could do that. Then I would never find the van, obviously. Or, yeah, never find my vehicle. I'd never find the Corolla, that's for sure. Or I could just refuse to believe that that's my car. I see it, that's obvious, but I don't believe it. It's got the same license plate, but somebody could have put my license, playing a joke. I could come up with all kinds of excuses not to believe the plain truth right before me. Or I could believe the truth. Sometimes we have to let go of what we think if we're going to be able to embrace what's true. And it can be a very hard thing to do, especially when you're so certain. But the way to grow, that's the only way to grow, is to let go of all that we've learned or understood and to embrace the scriptures purely. To walk with God. The Lord said through Jeremiah, "You will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart." God took Israel from a place where they were excelling, doing great, but they turned their back. They became a little arrogant. And God took them from that place, destroyed them, took them out of the land. And he said, "Listen, I have great plans. I have plans, yes. But I'm going to take you out, and you're going to seek me. And you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." You got the head knowledge. You know I'm God, but your heart, it's not where it needs to be. But listen to what Psalm 34:18 says. "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit." So it's actually easy to be a Christian that would fit into the Hall of Fame of faith. You don't have to do some great thing. You don't have to become famous. All you have to do is be an ordinary man or woman willing to put your life in the hands of an extraordinary God. That's it. Don't try to be famous, just be faithful. Maintain a steady, faithful, simple walk with the Lord, putting Him first. Walk with Him daily, and you will please Him. You'll avoid a lot of trouble. You'll also have a testimony being built up in your life. I don't believe that the greatest men and women of God are the ones that come from the seminaries. I believe the greatest men and women of God are those who hang out with God and walk with Him daily. I'm not putting seminary down. Obviously, I've taken some classes. But it has received the nickname cemetery for a reason. Because when we take in all of this knowledge and we read all the books that they give us and we got all the profound information, that's exactly what it becomes for us. It becomes not just information, but ammunition. So that we've got the answers. And instead of caring with a heart, we're puffed up, proud, because we've got all the answers. Seminary has been a cemetery for many a man. We need to get back to the simple walk with Christ. That's what pleases Him. Just walking with Him daily. And you could be somebody who would fit in the Hall of Fame of faith.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
The light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.